The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. There's been a lot of news happening, a lot of developments taking place throughout the course of today. And one of those things that we haven't really gotten around to at all is the confirmation hearings for Pam Bondi. She has been nominated by Donald Trump, who will be president in 5 short days. And she has been nominated to become the attorney general. Well, just here recently, within the last 30 minutes, we had Josh Hawley, who is a part of the committee that is questioning her today. We've seen the likes of multiple different senators. They go back and forth, as they do in these hearings, and watching as Pam Bondi has to take the love fest from the Republican, and then I'm not going to even say hate fest from the Democrat. The consistent thing that I saw the most from the Democrats was about how she felt about Kash Patel. Kash Patel, if you had Kash Patel 7 times on your bingo card, you probably got a bingo.
Really? I didn't know she mentioned him that much.
She didn't mention him. They mentioned him.
The
FBI director will be under the attorney general, and they're very concerned about Kash Patel. I think that it's really established for me the importance of the must-watch Kash Patel hearings. It's going to be fireworks. And if Kash Patel goes into... If Kash Patel is able to go into that confirmation hearing process knowing that, barring anything absolutely outrageous, he's got 51 votes from Republicans in the Senate, he just needs to don't screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
Pam Bondi, tell me about Kash Patel. Kash Patel apparently talked one time about an enemies list, and they're really concerned about what Pam Bondi's going to do with an enemies list. Over and over and over again, that's what they continued to say. Let's see here. Do I have this? I'm looking here. Do I have this video, number 3?
You should.
Okay, I'm looking for it right now. Because watching them go through back and forth, and here, I got it right now. Press upon her these assumptions that the Democrats have, their fear... more so for Pam Bondi as attorney general, their fear is that she's going to use her position in office as a weapon against their political enemies.
Nobody should do that. I wholeheartedly disagree with the concept of doing that.
Of political retribution through the Justice Department?
Yeah, I don't think the Justice Department should do that to a political enemy.
Well, ironically, neither do the Democrats.
And...
Senator Whitehouse.
It would not be appropriate for a prosecutor to start with a name and look for a crime. It's a prosecutor's job to start with a crime.
Jeez.
And look for a name, correct?
Senator, I think that is the whole problem with the weaponization that we have seen the last 4 years and what's been happening to Donald Trump. They targeted Donald Trump. They went after him. Actually, starting back in 2016, they targeted his campaign. They have launched countless investigations against him. That will not be the case if I am Attorney General. I will not politicize that office. I will not target people simply because of their political affiliation. Justice will be administered even-handedly throughout this country. Senator, we've got to bring this country back together.
You listen to the way he's I think the whole time he's asking that question, he's like looking down at his papers. Just can't even look her in the eyes.
He's looking down at his papers going, oh, and I can't I'm like halfway through this question. I can't bail on it now.
He drew the short straw. Just one more time.
And it would not be appropriate for a prosecutor to start with a name.
No.
And look for a crime.
That'd be outrageous.
It's a prosecutor's job to start with a crime.
Mm-hmm.
and look for a name, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's Blumenthal.
Ding, ding, ding. It took 4 years, but you finally got it. A round of applause.
He should do it again and go, it's not, it would be really inappropriate if you started with a name like Blumenthal. And then you started looking for crimes. That'd
Richard
be bad.
Blumenthal goes, hey! It's just a little too on the nose for me. I'm like watching this going, everybody knows. This isn't subtle at all. Let's listen to Josh Hawley. Brad's got Josh Hawley queued up. I haven't been able to hear about his questioning yet, so let's listen in and see what the Missouri senator.
I'm sitting here in the chairman's seat, General Bondi. It's a great feeling of power.
Do you have documents you want me to review?
Maybe some things I'd like you to sign. Let me just ask you here, and I think I may be your last interlocutor for the day, so congratulations. You've just done fantastic. Thank you for answering all of our questions. Let me just ask you about another of the abuses that this past administration perpetrated and that is still in place. And I'm referring to the October 2021 memo from Attorney General Garland targeting parents at school board meetings. Do you remember this?
Yes, Senator.
What happened was, as I'm sure you recall, we now know the Biden administration, the White House, the Secretary of Education solicited a letter from the National School Board Association. They ginned it up. It was fake from beginning to end. They ginned it up. Calling for law enforcement scrutiny against parents, taxpaying parents who are going to school board meetings, inquiring what their children were being taught, inquiring about face masks, critical race theory, and Attorney General Garland, you talk about bowing to political pressure. When the White House demanded he activate the FBI against these parents, amazingly, unbelievably, he did it. And he issued this memorandum in October of 2021. All of this time later, that memorandum has still never been formally rescinded. Even after the National School Board Association withdrew their letter, admitted they had been wrong to call parents potential domestic terrorists who were merely raising questions about what their children were being taught, Garland never apologized for it. He never did anything about it. It is still in effect. Here's my question for you. As Attorney General, if and when you are confirmed, will you finally rescind that memorandum and do right on behalf of all of these parents who have been wrongly, unjustly targeted by the FBI and DOJ?
Senator, I have not yet read the memo. If I am confirmed, I will read the memo and I will do the right thing, just like I told senators on both sides of the aisle regarding their issues.
Good. I look forward to you doing that. And I would hope this is something you could do on the first day after that you're confirmed to send a message to parents and law-abiding citizens everywhere. This shouldn't be a partisan issue. I bet the parents who went to these meetings, they're Republicans or Democrats. They have no partisanship, but they want to know that their First Amendment rights will be protected. And you rescinding that memo formally, after, frankly, the current Attorney General lied to us about it for years, would send a tremendous message. Let me just ask you about the one other thing, and this is something near and dear to me. We talked about this when you came to my office. The Department of Justice administers a fund called the Radiation Exposure Compensation Fund. This is a fund that helps pay for the health care bills of Americans who have been exposed to nuclear radiation by the government through no fault of their own. In the West and other parts of the country, the Department of Justice has administered that program for years. Senator Orrin Hatch actually wrote the initial bill. It has been in existence since 1990. It's been supported by senators from both parties. It's extremely important to my state because the state of Missouri, we have a lot of nuclear radiation that has occurred, that's still in our groundwater, still in our soil, not cleaned up yet. My question for you is, since you'll be in charge of administering it, will you administer that program fairly and equitably? Will you defend it? Will you make sure that radiation victims who are under the statute entitled to compensation from their government get what they deserve?
Senator, I was speaking about that with someone yesterday because I did not know. Again, there's going to be a lot, if I am confirmed, that I don't know. That's why it's so important to keep an open dialogue with every senator from every state. And yes, I am committed to looking at that. And I did not realize you had that horrific problem in your state.
Thank you very much. Thank you for answering our questions. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I yield back my time.
So Senator Josh Hawley there bringing it home, as you would like to see a senator do, referring to that that fund. I know he's been on that. He's been very, very deliberate about making sure that that stays top of mind.
I was going to say, that's not the first time he's mentioned that. He's been talking about that for years. He used that as a platform to bring it up again, though.
Yeah. Which you like to see, because you have to remember that these individuals are all there to represent the people and getting them help. And I feel like the Josh Hawley way of saying, here's a problem that exists in my state, and it's my job to hold government accountable to make sure that the people of my state get what they need, as opposed to the Tammy Duckworth way of bringing up, you know, the people of Illinois sent me here, they voted for me, and I'm here to represent them, and then went on her outrage thing about how well Hegseth was at auditing. Okay. As I said yesterday, Tammy, I did not vote for you, but I did vote for Donald Trump, and Donald Trump nominated Pete Hegseth, so confirm him.
It is fair. I'm glad we brought this back up with the Duckworth thing. It is fair for her to say, my constituents sent me here, because she did. She was elected by Illinois. It would be more accurate for her to say, Cook County sent me here to do XYZ, because the rest of the state didn't.
You know, Dick Durbin is up in 26.
Yes.
Do you know that his name is being considered for governor?
No.
It'd be an improvement.
It would be.
Man, Illinois. I don't know how to feel about that. I'm not excited about it.
Well, the question will be what J.B. Pritzker is going to do. Newsflash, folks, we don't have term limits.
So is J.B. Pritzker thinking about running for Senate?
Yes, or president.
Or president.
I want him to run for president.
I do too.
I just want to watch that dumpster fire burn. And I say that, and that's like what they said about Donald Trump. But I think this is different.
I do too. When Democrats, it seems to me, from California, Illinois, although we don't see those as much, New York, but really California, when they run, and their media, their local media, state media, has been the primary way that they've communicated with people, they get to that national stage and they almost immediately collapse, because they cannot handle the pressure from any media outside of friendly media. Now, most national media is friendly, but those who aren't, they hit them in the knee every single time. I can't imagine that wouldn't happen to Pritzker.
Well, I would say Pritzker faces those same things, but I would like to remind you of who the last major Illinois candidate to run for national office was, and that was Barack Obama, and he didn't seem to have any issue with the media whatsoever.
That's true.
Would you vote for Adam Kinzinger for governor of Illinois over Dick Durbin?
I'd vote for...
Yeah. I hate that so much.
I don't even know.
I would.
Anymore? I don't know. I don't even know what he stands for.
I'd be angry the whole time.
He has an
time.
R by his name just for TV. I'd vote for Liz Cheney.
That might be a YouTube poll. Who would you vote for governor of your state if these were your two options? Adam Kinzinger or Dick Durbin or J.B. Pritzker?
Those three.
This is not a hard question. This isn't a hard question.
I want to see Adam Kinzinger do anything conservative, though.
He's done a lot conservative.
I want to see it.
An absolute Looney Tune. Gosh, now he's not going to come on the show. He's been on the show.
Has he?
Oh, yeah.
Had to be quite a while ago.
It was. Okay. And it will be.
Yeah, now it will.
Is it outrageous to think that, I mean, does he still even live in Illinois?
I have no idea.
What else does he have?
Doesn't he do appearances on CNN or MSNBC?
What if he runs for Senate?
Fine.
Would you be happy with Senator Adam Kinzinger from the state of Illinois?
As long as he's running as a Republican. If he's running as a Democrat, then he's going to just do the same thing as anybody else.
Senator Adam Kinzinger from the state of Illinois would be a thorn in Donald Trump's side. He would be of the same ilk as...
Not really.
Well, he'd be of the same ilk as Mitt Romney, but it won't matter.
No, because he'd be a sometimes Republican vote, but it would be in place of Tammy Duckworth or Dick Durbin.
Heck yeah, that's why I would vote for him, as if he was Republican.
It's an upgrade.
Yeah,
it would be an upgrade, but he would be like a Mitt Romney upgrade, which I'll take over Dick Durbin or Tammy Duckworth.
We have to consider the current circumstances.
Yes. Although, if
what looks better
up,
can still look like crap and be better. Sad face.
Man. Governor
Dick Missouri
Durbin
is just oozing Republicans out of every fault line.
Oh, man. Thank God.
And they
for
still have
Billy
problems
Long.
Too. Billy Long, IRS man.
Man, I love it. Missouri, we've done some things right.
We've made all of our Illinois listeners very uncomfortable at the thought of maybe that would work.
Here's the problem. Out migration. People keep moving out of Illinois. And you know who's moving out of Illinois? It ain't Democrats, although it's everybody.
Democrats are moving out.
It's everybody.
But they're taking their tax dollars with them.
Yeah.
And so the tax burden continues to go up and the tax base continues to go down.
But Republicans are definitely not saying, you know what I want to do? Stay here.
Russell said, Annie, please don't throw those choices out at us. Makes my belly hurt. I wonder how. Oh, gosh, I can't. I'm above it. Let's go to break.
I can't wait to hear what this one
is. I'm not above it. I'm just out of time. We'll be right back. To the Annie Fry Show. You know, stuff's going on in Capitol Hill. Everybody's paying attention to the confirmation hearings. Just a quick poll of the room. Brad, Ethan, Ryan, in that order. Pete Hegseth.
Yes.
Made it through unscathed.
Yeah, he did good.
Agreed.
Yeah. He's in.
I'm surprised he didn't dissent just for the sake of dissenting there.
Oh, you said Pete Hegseth. No.
I thought you said Heat Pegseth.
Yeah. I thought you said Heat Pegseth.
Totally different situation. Pam Bondi today, from what you've taken in, I mean, even the Democrats were complimenting her. And as I said, a lot of any consternation that really came about in it was like, so Cash Patel. Oh, gosh, that's going to be so fiery. When does that happen?
They haven't set a date yet for it.
If it happens, we got to broadcast it. Don't wait.
The whole thing?
I don't know. Some of it.
I mean, that's going to be probably the most fun.
I want Cash Patel to study and mimic every single one of Peter Strzok's mannerisms.
You know what? The one that'll be pretty contentious will be RFK's too. Maybe Tulsi's.
No,
but RFK's
think,
won't be as crazy as Cash Patel's.
I don't think
will
RFK's
be.
Will. I think RFK has exemplified his ability to back up his claims and be comfortable and calm with it. I don't think Tulsi Gabbard's is going to be complicated at all either. I really don't. I think she is going to bring such grace to her presentation that they're not. You got to kind of meet fire with fire. Pete Hegseth had a little bit of that, a little America behind what he was bringing to the table, constantly talking about war fighting and everything. So that's a little easier to go against. And I think Tulsi Gabbard is just so well presented and calm that I think that they would, in my mind, I would politically calculate as a Democrat that this is not going to look good for me if I go strongly at her.
I agree. I just think that those two might be the most contentious.
You know who's the worst? Maisie friggin' Hirono.
She's terrible.
Oh my gosh. She every time she comes up, I'm like, gosh, I remember last time we saw her, she got under my skin. And then halfway through, I'm like, oh yeah, that's all right.
Yeah,
it's not good.
She wouldn't be one that even if I were on the Democrat side, I'd be like, yes, can't wait till Maisie gets them.
She was
like,
something
no,
else.
That's not going to work.
With Pam Bondi today. So all of these confirmations, that's where everybody's eyes and ears are right now. But at the same time, over in the House of Representatives, are you familiar with Representative Crockett?
I am.
Jasmine
Davey.
Crockett.
Yes.
Yeah. She wears a coonskin cap.
What state's she from again?
I don't actually know.
I think she's Maryland.
Davey Crockett.
Baltimore, if I had to.
I would think in like Kentucky or something like that more so, with that kind of name.
I don't know. I know that there was fireworks.
Yes.
That's all I know.
So listen to them go back and forth in this exchange. I don't even know. Do we have here? Do we know what they're arguing about? Like what the hearing was about? Is that even?
I have no idea. I didn't see what the hearing was about.
Somebody's campaign coffers really are struggling right now. So she gonna keep saying trans, 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 so that people will feel threatened. And child, listen. I want y'all I to am tell no me child. Whether or
Do not,
not
call me a child. I am no child.
I want
Don't
to
even
find
start.
Out
I am a grown
which
woman.
Of those
I am
emails
I have broken more
have
glass ceilings than
you have.
Order,
I am reclaiming my
go.
Time.
You will not do that.
Order.
I am not a
Chairman.
Child.
I am reclaiming my time.
If you want to take it outside,
Mr. Chairman, the committee is not
okay.
in order.
Order. Order.
Point of order. Point of order.
Order. Order. Order.
Yeah, order. Is there a winner and a loser here?
I didn't think so when I saw it.
Two losers?
Yeah, I didn't really think. I know a lot of people want to go to their sides and say, oh, Nancy Mace really won this or vice versa. But I didn't really, I don't know. I didn't walk away feeling like anybody got any good jabs in.
I would actually say that I think that Crockett is the winner because that's what she was going for. She was trying to get under Nancy Mace's skin, and she did. So Jasmine Crockett accomplished her goal.
Yeah, but she's the one that sounds like a child. I mean,
she does. But
the thought that that is someone that is in Congress and is like speaking to a politician like that, I don't know. You could. I understand the argument you're making, but the way she speaks to make it happen doesn't really tell me much about her either.
Do you want to see Nancy Mace catfight back?
I don't think she can not say anything. I don't know. Brad's right. It's almost like she got a little baited and took the bait and went for it. But I don't know that she could have just done nothing either.
Well, I'll say this about Nancy Mace. I'm not sure that she didn't realize she was taking the bait because I think that's starting to become part of her brand.
I think she looks super trashy.
Really?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Mace?
Yes. I mean, Congresswoman Crockett behaves this way on a pretty regular basis. That's where she goes. It's predictable. But at this point, it's kind of predictable that Nancy Mace is going to do this. So I do feel like it's like Nancy Mace is getting baited, and whether she knows it and still decides to go all in. I don't want to join those ranks. Not in the House. I mean, did Abraham Lincoln say something about letting a fool speak so that they can make a fool of themselves?
Yeah, I don't need it.
Yeah, and he said, don't believe everything you read on the internet. I mean, there's something about how, like, if there's a person making a fool of themselves, you don't need to stop them. And you also don't need to interject yourself to make the point that they're a fool. I'm a big fan of staying quiet while fools are making fools of themselves. We see this in our everyday lives. You see this at local sporting events. And when I say local, I'm like the ones that you had to be blood related to somebody to attend. people will make fools of themselves. And when you interject yourself into the situation to like be like, yeah, that's right, you're a fool. Now you're kind of like, never wrestle with a pig. You both get dirty and the pig likes it. I don't understand why Nancy Mace does this.
Is this why you usually let Wiggins just go during Wiggins America?
Don't. The answer is yes, actually.
Trade secrets. Ryan?
This was not.
Go on.
Got him.
When I saw this, I was like, oh, shoot. I don't think that this is. I didn't think it was like a big loss for Nancy Mace or anything, but I definitely didn't think she walked away. It's funny because when you go to Twitter, man, it really doesn't matter what happened. If you are looking at it through the lens of D or R, that is all that matters. Mm-hmm. So the Republicans are like, look at Nancy Mace. She really won this battle. Like, eh.
I feel very strongly that if Donald Trump is the president and the House is Republican and the Senate is Republican, Nancy Mace needs not do that.
Yeah, this becomes punching down because you're on the winning side. You don't really need to do that. You're going to get your agenda across the line anyway.
The only reason why this story made it into the national conversation is because of what Nancy Mace did. If Congresswoman Crockett, is it Jasmine Crockett?
Jasmine,
I think. If she... we're doing this. I mean, this is how she carries herself in normal. If she carries herself, and it was a personal comment towards Nancy Mace. She's like, you're going to keep saying trans, trans, trans. Nancy Mace's efforts, you know, in making sure that bathrooms on Capitol Hill are male, female, and there are also some like individual bathrooms that are available for anybody to use, whatever. she's making her case. She's putting these things out there. And if the other side doesn't like it, of course they don't like it. If they're going to act a fool not liking it, let them act a fool not liking it and look foolish. I just don't. There's nothing about the Nancy Mace response that is attractive to me in this regard. And it's, and this is not the only time. I just feel like it's, I don't like it when Matt Gaetz did it. You know, it's kind of the same feel, the same vibe. If Nancy Mace's constituents like it, then okay.
Well, here's a question. Do both of them benefit from this becoming a thing? That they have this this kind of animosity, they have the kind of good guy, bad guy relationship. And so anytime one of them speaks, they kind of go after the other one. It becomes a news story. Then they both benefit from the publicity. Not the cause. Obviously, the cause gets lost. But they personally would benefit from being Nancy Mace and Jasmine Crockett. The duo, the two sides of the coin, you know?
Mm-hmm. Are we going to see... Will the folks on the left elevate this type of behavior? I mean, if you're in the minority, sometimes you need to rattle the cage a little bit to get your message through, because it's not going to be based on what gets passed and what gets through, because if you're in the minority, you're going to have to make it bipartisan in order to get things through. Do you expect the left to get a little more... Because, I mean, you probably could see both, where some people on the left that are in purple districts are going to say, you know, I'm going to cross the aisle on this a little bit. We've seen a lot of that from John Fetterman in the Senate. But if you got people who are never, ever going to compromise, maybe we end up seeing more of this. Doesn't it do a service to the people on the left with that far progressive message to turn it into a story that people are talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
To, like, participate? You said it. It's punching down.
It is right now. Yeah, if you're in the majority, you don't need to do this.
Well, I thought it looked... I know some people love this version of Nancy Mace, but in the world where this isn't entertainment, it's actually the legislature. I wish we weren't doing that.
Maybe, and that's what it is. Unpopular opinion. That's what it is. It's entertainment, and that's why I wonder if they're doing it to sort of elevate their brands.
Well, let us know what you think. The YouTube live chat poll today: is there a religious culture shift taking place in America? Yes or no, Ryan? What are your thoughts, particularly on this poll today?
I do think there's a shift happening, and I think the phrase "religious culture shift" is probably a yes for me. Because I don't know that this is necessarily a spiritual shift that's happening yet. It could be a result of something or a precursor of something spiritually happening, which is, I think, what we're all hoping for. But right now, this is more of a culture shift that, you know, maybe has religious underpinning. So I'll say yes.
Chris said on YouTube, I voted no, wishing it was a yes. Ethan, you want to weigh in on this poll today?
I think similar to Ryan, it's leaning more towards yes than it is a no. There's definitely been some very promising signs so far. I think that there is very fair reasoning and there's a very fair argument that things are moving in the right direction. Is it full on, like this is 100% happening and this is going to completely, you know, as it says, shift the culture? Not necessarily, but I think it's trending in the right direction. So I'll say yes.
MAGA AF for Annie Fry says, that's how we use it here. Poll, no. People still use God as their personal genie in a bottle. Religion and service are very different in Western Christianity. Well, I would certainly say religion and service are very different than Christianity. What do you think, Brad?
I think that this is a cultural shift. I see what you're saying, Ryan, where there are people out there that are influencers, and it almost seems like they're peddling Christianity because it's kind of the counterculture. It's the way to kind of do that. But I think that they're actually latching onto something that is real, that is, there's a spiritual underpinning to it. I went through a lot of these sound clips for the Lou Holtz interview. And in one of them, I'm listening to an Ohio State player talk about how he committed a bad penalty.
Let's listen to it here. It's cut number 17, and it's Ohio State's running back, Trayvon Henderson.
A 75-yard run. Walk us through that. How did that feel to find the end zone?
Yes. Man, it was a battle, man, especially after making this mistake on the field, you know, with the penalty. Just spending some time with the Lord on the sideline, asking for his forgiveness and helping me to repent, to turn away, because that's not the person I want to be. And, you know, his hand is always there, you know. And, man, he picked me up in that moment. And my teammate, man, Gloria, man, he told me just focus on Jesus. And so I'm just thankful, man, for my brothers in Christ to be there to pick me up and help me to focus on the Lord. And just, man, yeah, God made a way.
But the job's not done, right? You've got one more. What's it going to take to focus on that now?
Man, to just keep seeking Jesus together, you know, to keep trusting him and to keep growing with him. And, you know, just surrender, you know, his will be done and not ours.
That guy gives that answer and she's like, but about football. And he's like, yeah, this is about football.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Brad. You're making
cool. But my thought is I've seen, like, you don't talk about the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty and then your repentance that you had on the sideline because you're like, oh, man, I did something wrong. I need to get right with Jesus on the sideline of a football game if there isn't something real going on there. Because in the past, there was nothing to gain for these guys to do that. There's nothing for them to gain from this, and they're actually the ones. And maybe some of these influencers, maybe your Russell Brands and some of these other influencers are out there, they're pushing out Christianity. And whenever you make people take a second look at it, it will grab a hold of them in an authentic way. I'm not saying Russell Brand's conversion isn't authentic. I'm just using him because he's the first influencer that came to mind that has recently converted to Christianity. But I think that there is something real in this, a real underpinning. And so on this poll, I'm a hard yes, absolutely. And I'm hopeful that there is a deep spiritual revival on the verge of taking place. But time will tell.
Dirk said, I chose yes, just appears folks are looking at things in more of a moralistic view, which is likely attributed to a change in religious views. And Chris, a different Chris, said, I said no, I feel people are moving away from it. Hope I'm wrong. Let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel right now. Go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry, F-R-E-Y. You'll see we're broadcasting live right there. And when you pull up the live broadcast in the live chat is where you'll find the poll. And you can leave a comment as well. You can also, did you know, stream us 24/7 here at 97.1 FM Talk on the Audacy app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. You download it. You listen to us. And of course, you're listening to Mark Reardon right after us. When you have that 97.1 FM Talk stream up on the Audacy app, it's just like listening on your radio, crystal clear connection. You can interact with us there as well. Let's take a quick break, and Ethan will give us the results of this poll before we wrap up the show and hand it over to Mark Ridden. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're going to get the results to today's YouTube live chat poll here in a couple of minutes, so keep it around to find out how y'all voted on this question. Is there a religious culture shift taking place in America? I think certainly there is. I think that when you're talking about culture, you're talking about trends. And I think that there is definitely an openness about talking about faith or a newfound faith that exists now that hasn't existed in the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, my kids watch this stuff and, like, when someone says something about Jesus, they're like, mom, they like want me to know. They see it, they highlight it, it impacts them, and they've seen a lot of it, which is pretty cool that it's getting picked up by them. Janine said, I voted yes. These people with influence are looked up to, and although the Holy Spirit is the only one to bring us to him, he will then use these witnesses to point others to him. Libby said, I vote not necessarily. I don't think there is a massive shift, but a significant number of people tired of the wokeness and deciding to be more public about their spirituality. Culturally speaking, I think that the indicator here is not necessarily how many people have religion, but how many people are willing to publicly witness that they have religion. Because I think there are a lot of people who have been religious this whole time, been Christians this whole time, and just have not found the right moment in time to say, let me tell you about this. I think that's kind of the difference right now. It's just a more public nature to it.
Yeah, I do too. And whenever you go through a period like we have in the last 4 years where, you know, I think Pam Bondi brought it up, or Josh Hawley brought it up about, you know, the DOJ was actually persecuting Christians. Like, that's a real thing. It's not persecution like you see in other countries, but it was real nonetheless. We are now seeing a major shift, and it's obvious in the natural. You see it happening with the changing of the guard, where you have President Trump coming in. But I just wonder, and I've seen commenters saying the same thing, if people aren't in a place right now after having been, I don't want to say despondent, but just, you know, we might be in a place where people are seeking more, looking for something else.
Go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. We'll get those results here in a second. Get your thoughts in by voting yes or no. A quick story I want to hit. Fox News is reporting on this. This is like kind of a gossipy thing, I guess. But Fox News was saying, as she prepares to exit the White House, First Lady Jill Biden reflected on her relationships during an interview with the Washington Post and revealed that she was disappointed in former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who played a big role in the president dropping out of the 2024 race. Jill Biden said, "It's been on my mind a lot lately, and we were friends for 50 years. It was disappointing." Pelosi joined the co-host of Morning Joe in July following the president's disastrous debate performance and said, quote, "It's up to the president to decide if he's going to run," despite Biden's repeated assurance that he would remain in the race. The first lady then said, "Let's just say I was disappointed how it unfolded." It's a little diplomatic. Fox News goes on to say Pelosi was seen as a major force behind the Democratic pressure campaign to get the president to drop out of the race and has lamented after Vice President Kamala Harris's loss to President-elect Trump that Biden should have dropped out sooner. Amid the speculation that Biden would drop out following the June debate, despite him saying he wouldn't, the Associated Press reported that leaders within the Democratic Party, such as former President Obama, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and Pelosi, reportedly worked behind the scenes to encourage Biden to drop out due to concerns he would not defeat Trump. It's a Fox News article by Hannah Panrick. Do you think they encouraged him? Because I would probably, I'm assuming the word threatened would be more appropriate.
Yeah, encouraged. I was going to say, encouraged is probably the nicest way to put it.
Please, 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 please drop out. Okay.
Sugar on top.
We really think it'd be great if you did. It'd be good for everybody. You know what's funny is yesterday I was reminded that after that debate performance, they did polling, and still 30-something percent of America was like, yeah, he won. He won that debate. He did great.
I didn't even watch the debate, and I know that.
Right.
Fox News report says Jill Biden told the Washington Post, this, brace yourself, gentlemen, she was confident her husband could have served another 4 years.
Ooh, yeah. Oh. Sure she is.
Isn't that gross?
Do you think she actually believes that? Like, do you think she's actually fooled herself into believing that?
I think that Jill Biden is the most aware of the reality of the situation of anybody that exists. I think she's heartless. I think she's a terrible person. Is that too much to say?
No.
How would you disagree?
What's going to be sad is the minute he's out of office, everything they've been doing to kind of keep him going and keep him up and being able to get through speeches and stuff, that stuff all goes away. Within 6 months, if you hear from him at all, it's going to be tragic.
He keeps saying, you know, I'm going to be around. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
Jill Biden also said, quote, I mean, today, I think he has a full schedule. He started early with interviews and briefings, and it just keeps going. That's very detailed and convincing.
You know they post that, right?
Yeah, that's not just you.
This is a lid by noon.
Right.
Plus, the Fox News article points this out, but Joe Biden was just asked recently if he could have finished another 4 years, and he was not sure, to say the least. To quote, who the hell knows? So far, so good. But who knows what I'm going to be when I'm 86 years old?
You know, Ethan brings up a good question. Was Jill Biden actually fooling herself into thinking? I think she might have been. She might have fooled herself into actually thinking, this is fine.
Like you say something enough times and then you start to believe
it. You start to believe it, yeah. I wonder if she hasn't done that.
I think she just liked being first lady and maybe even pulling the strings behind the scenes. And so whenever she says something like, I think Joe Biden can do 4 more years, she's actually saying, yeah, I could have handled that.
She's the worst.
Yeah.
She might be the worst. I mean, if you've ever been in a position to watch somebody you love deteriorate and you're close enough that you know the full extent of the deterioration, if you love that person, you protect them.
Top two, but not number two.
Ugh. It's just like to sit there and listen to Joe Biden be like, who knows? Could you do it? I don't know. Who knows? And Jill's like, he'd have been fine.
You know, maybe, though, this is the way he deteriorates the least, is by being the president.
Well, maybe she just loves him so much she's willing to preserve him.
Yeah.
In the office of the United States of America presidency. That's it. Why are we not political consultants? All right, guys, we got it. Act of love.
We figured
this
out.
Repeat the phrase. Act of love. Repeat the line. Act of love.
It's all joy.
Joy. And joy. Lots of freaking joy. Get it right.
I'm filled with joy.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't this sound like a Chris Farley skit? Yeah. Ethan, you want to hit us with the results of the YouTube live chat poll?
Gladly. 223 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll, which asks, is there a religious culture shift taking place in America? 78% say yes, 22% say no.
All right. Well, I'll take it. I are we four yeses in here?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah, we are.
What did I say tomorrow's poll was going to be?
Who should be governor of Illinois?
Durbin or...
Kinzinger or Pritzker. Pritzker. You get three.
Ooh, tough choice.
Somebody wrote on Twitter yesterday, was complimenting Ron DeSantis and was talking about how great he is doing in Florida. And said, they said, who's the Ron DeSantis of your state? I know people.
Bruce Rauner.
Didn't he move to Europe?
I'm not sure.
I think he might have. He lost and he got out of here. Maybe not. Maybe he's back. We got to find one. It's worth the effort. Thank you for being here with us today. AnnieFryShow.com/podcast or subscribe to our podcast on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Stream us anywhere you go and listen to anything you missed right there. But don't move the dial because the Mark Reardon Show is coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk. So, pick up jams, pick up soul, pour another glass of that rock and roll, turn up the bass.